It's about 9 a.m. I can smell rain on the air, and I'm still in bed. My eyes are puffed up and heavy. My head is groggy, and I am so sleepy. My mum barges into the room. It's her bedroom. It's a very blue room. I'll never forget that. Everything in that room was blue. And she tells me to get up. It is Christmas. Santa's been. What are you doing still in bed? And that's fair. I'm about 8 at this point. I should be really excited for Christmas. Hell, I should have been downstairs unwrapping gifts at about 6 a.m. But no. I wait until she leaves the room and I go back to sleep. Because for as long as I can remember, I've always been a bit sleepy. As a kid, I was never one for running around. And as I got older and became a teenager, well, let's just say I got even sleepier. I used to go to a school that would begin at 8:30 in the morning. And despite being a 7-minute walk door to door, I was never on time. I would always push it. I would always try and get one extra snooze in. I think my alarm was set for 8:05, and I would snooze at least twice. When I was a teenager, it got even worse. Weekends, I could comfortably sleep until 1 p.m. without even trying. Until one day my mum, who's clearly at her wit's end, fed up of yelling after me from the bottom of the stairs, came in my room and threw a glass of water over my head to try and get me to get out of bed. And I wish I could tell you that it worked, but actually I just turned the pillow over and went back to sleep. When I was at university, out on my own, without someone to come in and throw water on my head, it got even worse. I was studying psychology at Leeds and I had 9 a.m. lectures. And let's just say that didn't really ever happen. I think I made it to a couple of them, ones that took mandatory attendance. But even then, after a while, I just started sleeping in. Bless my roommate Ellie. At one point, she tried to stage an intervention, but it didn't take. As an adult, it got a bit better, but I wonder if that was because I was running on the adrenaline and anxiety of being a young 20-something person who moved to London and was working in their dream job. I work in video games, and there is always something happening in video games. Either you're playing them, or there are events, or you're on podcasts and talking about them with other people. I did a lot, and I was always feeling kind of imposter syndrome, so I was always pushing myself to prove that I should be there. And I've been working in that field for, 12 years at this point. And only recently have I got over the imposter syndrome, but I still want to work really hard because I love what I do. There's always a lot of talk about people burning themselves out in video games, and I think I avoided it a little. There'd be periods of it for sure, but nothing terrible. Until 4th of July weekend in 2022, where I just couldn't get up. I was lying in bed. It was raining outside again, and my legs hurt, as if I'd run a marathon or done leg day 5 days in a row at the gym. But as my ex very rightfully pointed out, the only thing I run is errands. This was not DOMS. This was not an exercise-related pain. Everything just felt heavy. My brain was foggy, and I went back to sleep, thinking I'd be awake again in maybe an hour or two. And instead, I woke up hours later, and it was 4th of July weekend, so I had plans, and I had to desperately text my friends to cancel them. I went back to sleep, and I did the same thing for the next day, and the next day. And then, after the long weekend, I worked from bed. It was around this time where I started getting really intense periods of brain fog. I would forget everyday words. Now, that's not great as someone who is barely in their 30s, but conversations would become just exercises in frustration for me. I'd be grasping for basic concepts that were just out of my reach, and that would just be a conversation. I also do live hosting and podcasts and having to kind of control and maintain conversations with people on video, and it just became impossible. So, after years of being tired, I went to the doctor, who ran tests and found nothing. There was no COVID, no thyroid issues, no anemia, nothing on paper. So I pushed for a sleep study. First, they gave me a device to take home to check that I didn't have sleep apnea, and I didn't. And so they eventually scheduled a sleep study for February of the following year. I remember it was raining when I was walking to the station, and even with taking the bus and BART here in San Francisco, it would take over 90 minutes to get there, and I wasn't allowed to eat past a certain time, so I remember ducking into a burger place on Market Street, and I got a milkshake and a burger, and I promise I will come back to that later. I arrive at the sleep clinic, and a really nice nurse named Jingle spent the better part of an hour kitting me out. They basically have to put all these nodes on your head and on your legs and on your arms to track brainwaves and if you move in your sleep. And then at 10 p.m., it was lights out. But before I went to sleep, they told me that there was a two-way speaker in my room. It would be pitch black and there wasn't a mirror, but there would be a camera and there was a speaker that would hear absolutely everything. And as someone who just had a milkshake and who is slightly lactose intolerant in America, well, that just put the fear of God in me. Let's just say that. But I was reassured that it was all okay and that there was nothing they hadn't heard before. Anyway, lights go out. I go to sleep. In the middle of the night, I wake up and someone's touching my leg. And it would be like something out of an absolute horror movie. If this pleasant voice from this nurse didn't just go, "It's okay, don't worry, it's just Jingle." And that's something I will never forget. In the middle of the night, if I ever wake up, I will always just think to myself, "Don't worry, it's just Jingle." But if it is a monster from under my bed, then, you know, well, I went out how I lived, sleeping. Anyway, I wake up, it's 6 a.m., they wake me up. And I'm getting ready to leave and they go, "Oh no, you're not going." And I have to do all these tests where every 2 hours they put me down for a nap and I have to fall asleep. And then they wake me up after 15 minutes. And if I can't fall asleep, I just have to lie there staring at the ceiling for half an hour until they deem that part of the test over. This was every 2 hours from 8:30 till 4:30 in the afternoon. And I fell asleep every single time. There wasn't a single one where I didn't fall asleep. So I go home. I've done a lot of sleeping. You'd think I'd be up all night, but no. I get dinner and then I immediately fall asleep. And after a week or so, the results come in. And they diagnose me with chronic fatigue syndrome. Or myalgic encephalomyelitis. I never say that part because I know that I'm pronouncing it wrong. So I just always say chronic fatigue syndrome. Can they do anything? No. Have you tried sleeping more? Have you tried not doing so much? Have you tried pacing yourself? It's really weird. It's very frustrating sometimes because things that I used to be able to do, I'm just not able to anymore. On the other hand, though, as a secret introvert, I do have an immediate get out of jail, aka social activity card, that I can play. I don't do it often. I genuinely only do it if I really feel like I push myself too far, but you know, I need to have a silver lining, I suppose. Anyway, I always think back to being that little kid, lying in bed on Christmas Day, uninterested in toys. And I think that year I got a Game Boy Color with Pokemon Red and Yellow because Mum got me both, but I couldn't trade with myself. But I did have both versions. Anyway, I remember being that kid and I remember being so sleepy and just thinking, hey, maybe it's growing pains. And realizing as I'm older that that's not really the fun childhood story that I've been telling it all these years, you know? I'm quite lucky with my chronic fatigue because it can be completely debilitating. I still have a relatively normal life. I can still do the vast majority of things that I want to do. But I know that's really not the case for a lot of people. And for a very long time, it's been a very ignored condition that people kind of make fun of. Like, oh, you're the lazy person thing, right? No. Whenever I crash and have really bad periods of it, it's completely debilitating. And there are some people with CFS, and that's just their life, you know? There are other symptoms, like being in pain or being sensitive to light and, you know, there are awful things in the news about what happens to people when they have severe chronic fatigue. I don't really have a good way of ending this. It's something that I live with and have done pretty much my whole life, but it got worse as I got older. But I always think of it whenever I can smell the rain. And I live in San Francisco, so that's not too often. But yeah, the smell of the rain always takes me back to that kid.